Good afternoon, GWA. This is Dr. Allie speaking, or Allie, or whatever you guys call me these days. And, oh boy, we are on to day two of my challenge. For those of you who probably didn't listen to the first one, I am doing Holy Fictional's Edging Challenge. He rolled me in 8 for the number of days. I am on day 2. Now, with day 2, I don't remember exactly the number he rolled me, but he rolled me the one where I have to read something while my edge, which is going to be, well, interesting, because I've actually never done that before. So, we're just going to wing it, folks, and see what happens. I feel like the challenge was trying to find something that was public domain, and lucky for me, we're going to be reading The Call of Cthulhu. Because nothing is sexier than listening to a girl read about Cthulhu. Alright, well, we are just going to go ahead and get started here, folks. And to make things a little bit more interesting, I am actually going to be turning it on. I'm actually going to be turning it up higher with each paragraph. So this is gonna be kind of wacky. So, oh god, without much further ado, we're going to be reading The Call of Cthulhu by H.P. Lovecraft. Oh god, the things I do for you guys, I swear. Anyway, there's actually a quote here at the beginning of this. It says, "Of such great powers or beings, there may be conceivably a survival. A survival of a hugely remote period when consciousness was manifested, perhaps in shapes and forms long since withdrawn before the tide of advancing humanity, forms of which poetry and legend alone have caught a flying memory and called them gods, monsters, mythical beings of all sorts and kinds." And it's like it's by Algernon Blackwood. Part 1, The Horror in Clay. Oh god. Okay, and we're turning it up to 1. Oh god. Oh god, this is so distracting. "The most merciful thing in the world, I think, is the inability of the human mind to correlate all its contents. We live on a placid island of ignorance in the midst of black seas of infinity, and it was not meant that we should voyage far. The sciences, each straining in its own direction, have hitherto harmed us little, but someday the piecing together of dissociated knowledge will open up such terrifying vistas of reality and of our frightful position therein, that we shall either go mad from the revelation, or flee from the deadly light into the peace and safety of a new dark age." Oh god. The auspice of guest at the awesome grandeur of the cosmic cycle wherein our world in human race form transient incidences. They have hinted at strange survivals in terms which would freeze the blood if not masked by a blight optimism. But it is not from them that there came the single glimpse of forbidden aeons. Oh god, which chills me when I think of it, and maddens me when I dream of it. That glimpse, like all dreaded glimpse of truth, flashed out from an accidental piecing together of separated things. In this case, an old newspaper item, and the notes of a dead professor. I hope that no one else will accomplish this piecing out. Certainly, if I live, I shall never knowingly supply a link in so hideous a chain. I think that the professor, too, intended to keep silent regarding the part he knew, and that he would have destroyed his notes had not sudden death seized him.
Oh, God. And one more.
Oh, my knowledge of the thing began in the winter of 1926-27 with the death of my great-uncle, George Gamel Engle, professor emeritus of Semitic languages in Brown University, province of Rhode Island. Professor Engle was widely known as an authority of ancient inscriptions and had frequently been resorted to by the heads of prominent museums, so that his passing at the age of 92 may be recalled by many. Locally, interest was intensified by the obscurity of the cause of death. The professor had been stricken whilst returning to the Newport boat, falling suddenly, as witnesses said, after having been jostled by a nautical-looking Negro who had come from one of the queer dark courts on the precipitous hillside, which formed a shortcut from the waterfront to the deceased's home in Wood Street. Physicians were unable to find any visible disorder, but concluded after a perplexed debate that some obscure lesion of the heart induced by the brisk ascent of so steep a hill by so elderly a man was responsible for the end. At the time, I saw no reason to dissent from this dictum, and latterly I am inclined to wonder, and more than wonder. Oh my, oh God, I don't think I want there, I don't think. And four. Oh God. As my granduncle's heir and executor, for he died a childless widower, I was expected to go over his papers with such thoroughness, and for that purpose moved his entire set of files and boxes to my quarters in Boston. Much of the material which I correlated will be later published by the American Archaeological Society. But there is one box which I found exceedingly puzzling, and in which I felt much averse from shrewing to other eyes. It had been locked, and I could not find the key until it occurred to me to examine the personal ring which the professor carried around in his pocket. And then indeed I succeeded in opening it. But when I did, so seemed only to be confronted by a greater and more closely locked barrier. For what could be the meaning of this clear clay bas relief? And the disjointed jottings, ramblings, and cuttings which I found, had my uncle in his later years become the credulous of the most superficial impostures. I resolved to search out the eccentric sculptor responsible for this apparent disturbance of an old man's peace of mind. Really, it was a rough triangle, less than an inch thick, and about 5 by 6 inches in area, obviously of modern origin. Its designs, however, were far from modern in atmosphere and suggestion. For although the vagaries of cubism and futurism are many and wildly oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Oh, God. Oh, dear. Oh,
my God. That snuck up a little too close for comfort. Oh, God.
Okay, the sad thing is, I think I only made, like, 4 paragraphs in, and there's... I haven't even gotten to the part with the Cthulhu cult yet. I tried. Well, if anybody really wants me to finish reading The Call of Cthulhu, let me know. I mean, that in a future audio, I'll actually do it for a... Excuse me, for hysterical literature or something like that, but... Oh god, I survived day 2 and just narrowly at that. Oh god. Day 3 will be coming soon, guys. And wish me luck. Oh, this is going to be very interesting to come out the rest of the day. As always, stay classy, GWA. I'm going to go try not to fall over.